Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy. This is Monday, January 11th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today, as always, will inform, inspire, and encourage you. Now, in a moment, we're going to begin today's episode, Staying Fit and Healthy in the New Year. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us because I know you have many other things that you could do. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines and you want to ask a question or give a comment, just press pound one. I'll be able to see that and call on you to submit your question or your comment to our guest. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens. It even happens to me. So if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. That's the same number you called in the first place. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, once again, for those of you who don't know, I'm Flora Brown. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, consultant, and my most important job of all, I'm a mom and a grandma. I taught junior high through university levels for over 40 years and retired still walking and talking and thinking straight. So isn't that great? Now, if you haven't already done so, I want you to go over and visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com. There's a lot going on over there, but one of the main things I want you to do right now is to take advantage of a complimentary coaching session, which I'm offering called Jumpstart Your 2010 Goals. So I want you to get that complimentary session while you can get me free, okay? Go over there and just click on where it says Get a Coach Now. Now, the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, is on every Monday, and here we talk about different ways of handling stress and creating the lasting happiness you deserve. To get that done, I invite various guests from different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, parenting, wealth creation. A wide variety of guests come on to share all those things that contribute to our happiness. Now, today, my guest is Marnie Dominey. And hi, Marnie.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I want to tell my listeners a bit about you before we begin the interview. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, okay. Marnie Dominey, I've actually met in person. We are colleagues, and we've had some good times attending Publishing Institute together. She's an exercise physiologist. She got her MS in that field. She's the author of a new book, Choosing Your Healthy Path, a 24-week inspirational guide to weight loss and wellness. Now, she's also a speaker and a professor of health science and personal wellness at Olympic College in Washington State. Now, she's written articles for Seattle Woman and Ms. Fitness magazines, and she's been quoted in Glamour and Runner's World. So she has quite a bit of experience in this field. Her experience started at an early age because Marnie has never stopped moving since she was born.
Yeah, that's true.
She was happiest while she was running, jumping, and cavorting through space. So this passion for movement has been the driving force behind her career and her life choices. Now, if you're looking for a dynamic, energetic speaker who instantly infects your audience with the desire to increase their wellness and live a healthier life, then Marnie is your Healthy Path speaker. Welcome, Marnie.
Well, thank you, Flora. I really appreciate being on your show.
Well, great. I appreciate your being here because this is a big part of our happiness.
Yeah.
One thing for sure, if you don't feel good, it's not easy to be happy.
Right, right, yeah.
And if you don't have mobility, if you haven't had a good night's sleep, all those things. Now, one of the things that I mentioned on the show description, and I want to repeat a little bit of that because it's so true, and that is we all know what to do. We all know we should exercise and eat right. We all know we should get a good night's sleep. And near the beginning of the year sometimes, or sometimes along during the year when we start to feel really bad or guilty, we will do it for a while. We will change our lives for a while, and we'll make a commitment to exercise, to eat right, or whatever. But something happens. And we slowly ease back into our old destructive habits, and before we know it, we're right back where we started.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I know that none of us have a goal of being unhealthy, and yet we have these unhealthy habits, and we have all these great intentions. So I want you to share with us today, what can we do about this change? Because one of the things I like about what you've done with your, even with your book title, has you've given us a period of time to work with, and it's a realistic period of time. You know, we all want these quick fixes, overnight success thing, but we know that in reality, change takes time, and that there's a natural progression that we need to go through. So why don't we start with what is the natural progression of change?
Yeah. First of all, I really love it when people have great self-confidence, no matter, you know, what size they are, what they look like, and that type of thing. And it's important to give yourself the okay to screw up from time to time, because we all do, and none of us is perfect. And when we're looking at trying to attain or achieve wellness or weight loss, we know from studies that everyone goes through a natural, as you just said, progression of change, and they're just specific stages. And the first one is the pre-contemplative stage, and that stage is when you're thinking about it, you know you need to make a change. You know that it's going to be in your best interest to do so, and you're just kind of thinking about it. And the second one is the contemplative stage, and this is when you're really realizing that you've got to go in a direction. And actually, today we're talking about wellness and weight loss, but these stages apply to if you're going to stop smoking or stop drinking, or, you know, anything that you think you might want to change in your life. And so the contemplative stage is when you're really on the verge of taking action. And then the next stage is the preparation stage, and that's when you actually make plans. If we're talking about weight loss here, which we kind of are, you know, that's when you say, okay, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to go on a diet? Am I going to just change my lifestyle habits? Am I going to do a commercial program? What am I going to do? And you just actually set up and prepare for the next stage, which is the action stage. And the action stage is actually the stage that takes the most time, depending on what you want out of your own program. Mm-hmm. And the action stage is actually doing what it is that you want to do and accomplishing what it is that you want to accomplish. And then after the action stage, you have the maintenance stage, where you're learning and practicing maintaining those new habits that you've formed. And then the final stage is the termination stage, where you really don't have to think about it very much anymore. But I want to go back to the action stage, because that's when I think people tend to, you know, go back then, start from scratch. And it's really, really important that everybody understands that during that action stage, you're going to have really good days and you're going to have maybe not so good days.
Okay.
And there's going to be times where you're going to go back to your old habits, And you may screw up, you know, if we're talking about weight loss, you may have a period in the day where you're just going nuts and you're going, God, I got to eat something. And so you eat a candy bar or some chips or whatever and end up eating the whole bag.
Yes.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, what I found in a lot of my clients is that that may happen to them, and then they just throw their hands up in the air and say, okay, I give up. I can't do this. You know, I'm a failure or whatever. And everybody, as in everybody, has mm-hmm. Those spells. And so you just basically just move through it. You know, you ate your bag of chips or you ate the chocolate cake or whatever you did. And just say, okay.
Were you peeking at my house this morning?
And in this time of the year, of course, that does happen because everybody or a lot of people make resolutions. But, you know, it's okay. Sure. And just know that you're not alone. You know, a lot of other people are doing the same thing. And just get back, you know, on the healthy path and, you know, start fresh. And then the next time, you know, it might not be so, you know, so intense. Mm-hmm. But mostly just say to yourself, okay, I'm still okay. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I screwed up, but I'm just really okay.
Well, one of the things that came to mind when you were talking with this, the making plans and the action. Well, let's talk about making plans. I think one of the things I've noticed in myself and others is that we make these huge plans that, you know, because now we've gotten really upset at how we've let ourselves go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We make these huge plans that are completely not doable
mm-hmm.
and doom ourselves to failure right there in the planning. So
right.
Do you have tips on making attainable plans that we're more likely to, you know, follow through?
Yeah. The tips that I would say is, first of all, be extremely realistic.
Okay.
The people that I have worked with who have had the most success in losing weight and keeping them off are people who are making lifestyle changes, and they're not making too many. You know,
okay.
It's a good idea to write a list of the changes that you might think that you need to make. For instance, you know, you might need to know that you need to exercise, because exercise
mm-hmm.
is an important component, of course, of losing weight and attaining health. And one of the most prevalent things I get from people when I ask them about exercise is time and motivation. Time seems to be the number one, is that they just don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just start slowly. Be realistic. Know that you're probably not going to all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, start exercising at least an hour and a half a day and do this hardcore aerobic stuff. So start with 10 minutes a day
mm-hmm.
and make those small changes and just put a time in your day, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
just to do some kind of movement. And so start slowly. And then where your eating habits are concerned, just take one habit at a time. If the habit is, for instance, eating chocolate, you mm-hmm. might even take it to, I'm going to have a little nibble of chocolate, but not, you know, the whole bar or something like that. Just make slow, steady changes. And because this, you're still kind of in a contemplative stage and a preparation stage. And so when you're preparing for the real lifestyle changes,
mm-hmm.
it's real hard. This is what the trap people get into, just like what you were saying,
mm-hmm.
is on Sunday, they eat everything in sight. I'm starting a diet tomorrow, so I'm going to eat everything I can possibly fit into my body here today. And then Monday morning, boom, they expect that they're going to just have this, you know, do this perfect job of staying on this diet.
Right.
And, you know, most of us don't do well with that, because by Tuesday night, you know, you're starting to climb the walls. And there are some physiological reasons as to why you might be having trouble. It's not about discipline. It's not that you're not disciplined, because, you know, I have seen the most disciplined people in the world struggle with weight loss
mm-hmm.
issues. And so it's not discipline. It's a lot physiology.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You mentioned about exercise. I know that there are lots of people who just hate to exercise, or at least they think they do. And even with the concepts of time and motivation, what kind of advice can you give these people who claim they just hate to exercise? Because when you set time, the person who says they hate to exercise, they're going to say, I just don't have time. And my theory is that we all have time. We have the same amount of time, as a matter of fact, 24 hours. So what we do with that time is what matters. So obviously they have time. They're doing something else with it. So what do you say to this person?
Well, start integrating exercise into your daily routine. For example, I had a colleague at the college that I was working with who said the very same thing, time. And her deal, too, was motivation. She didn't love to exercise. And so we found a parking spot for her that was absolutely perfect. It was the farthest parking spot from the campus.
I was just thinking about that when you were talking about that. I was thinking about parking far away. Go ahead.
And she had a big load of books. I mean, you've been a teacher, you know.
Oh, yes.
You've got a book for every different subject and all of the papers. And so she got a backpack. And that backpack, as any high school kid would tell you, is, you know, about 25-plus pounds.
Yeah.
And so she put all of her stuff in a backpack instead of, like, in a briefcase that she was carrying on one side.
Right.
And we had her pack the backpack, put it on her back, park as far away from the campus as possible, and walk into her office.
Mm-hmm.
And at first she was just grumbling about that because, you know, it wasn't fitting into, you know, what she wanted to do. But, you know, she had to leave 5 minutes early because it was going to take her that much longer to get in there. And it got to the point where what she ended up doing is not only parking the furthest parking place from her office, but circling the campus and then going into her office. And that ended up being her exercise for the day.
Wow.
Yeah, and with an extra 25 to 30 pounds on her back, that was, it was great. And it was sort of like it just fit into her lifestyle.
Right,
She didn't even really notice that she was doing anything different. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, found out that she always watched the news at a specific time. And so I gave her these resistance bands. And while she was watching the news, she just did my, it took about 15 to 20 minutes of a resistant band workout. And that became her workout.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to get to next and ask you about what kind of exercise we should be doing and how often.
Yeah, you hear so many things about that, and that's why it gets really kind of confusing.
Sure.
The American College of Sports Medicine states that you need to do, you know, 30 minutes of aerobic exercise every day with some resistance training as well. And that is true. That would be great if everybody could or would do it. But the number one thing is the best exercise, the very best exercise to do is the one that you will do, the one that you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a runner. I've never loved to run.
No.
I've done it, but I've never really loved to. And so doing something that you don't like, you just won't stick to. There's just no question about it. And I just love group exercise deals because, you know, I love group stuff, whether it be social or what, you know, a bunch of women getting together and, doing step aerobics or kickboxing or those kind of things. That's what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody loves that. Not everybody loves to go to the gym.
No.
It might be that you just love to go out in nature and walk or swim. Swimming, water aerobics is awesome. I had one lady who we went through it over and over. Okay, you know, I was working with her for at least 2 months before she really hit on something that she liked to do. And actually, the story is in my book, Choosing Your Healthy Path. But she went to the gym, hated it. Started a walking program, hated it. Went swimming, didn't really like that either. And she found a belly dancing class. And so she went to this belly dancing class and absolutely loved it. Loved the music, loved the instructor, loved the other women in the class. And so she was taking this class twice a week. made some great friends in the class, and the friends decided to get together two other times of the, I think it was on Saturday and Sunday, and they went on a 2.5-3 mile walk every Saturday and Sunday. So she did it slowly, and it just worked for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That, you know what, now that you mention that dancing, the belly dancing, I've known a number of people who have discovered the same thing that this client discovered, that they didn't like some of the other traditional exercises, but when they found a dance class that they enjoyed, then dancing is not like, I mean, you don't think of it as exercise because you're having fun.
You don't think of it as exercise.
And yet it is.
It is. And, of course, you remember when we were all teenagers and we would put music on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're listening to music, you cannot help but move. And so
that's
if you've got music that you love, you know, when you're home alone, put it on, just start moving. I mean, you're home alone, no one will see you. So just, you know, just start boogieing out in your own home. And that's exercise.
That's right.
You know?
That's what my oldest daughter did. She lives alone, but she started over a two-year period. She lost a lot of weight. She looked great. And she did that very thing. The dancing when she got home from work, along with other things that she likes to do.
Yeah.
But she danced a lot.
Oh, yeah. You can put music on and, you know, just have it blasting in your house and, you know, be puttering around the kitchen, do, you know, your daily stuff in the house, cleaning the house a little bit. And it's amazing how much energy it activates just from listening to the music. And by the way, you know, music increases your endorphins. It's very interesting. Endorphins are those, you know, natural high
natural
drugs
high.
That we produce. Yeah. And it's been proven. Music depends on the music. I mean, country western gets some people's endorphins going and maybe not others. And hip-hop works on some people. So you got to just really zero in on the music that you love.
Well, you know, they've done research showing with time-lapse photography how even plants are drawn to certain music and how they respond to certain music. So it's not hard stretch to realize that humans too respond to it and benefit. Now, what about a healthy eating program? You've mentioned not beating up on ourselves, which of course we absolutely can't do because that'll defeat the purpose. We'll be back where we started. But what are your tips for staying on a healthy eating program?
Well, the number one thing, and I think that most of us have issues with, is when we're just craving certain foods. And this is just so important, and I'm not sure why everybody doesn't know about this, but when you eat protein, there's an essential amino acid in the protein, and it's called phenylalanine. And that is an amino acid that actually has a major role in blood sugar regulation. And when I said earlier about physiology, sometimes we crave foods, not because we don't have discipline, but because simply our physiology is working against us if we're eating incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for instance, I challenge everybody to do a little experiment. You know, have one day where you get up and you eat a high refined carbohydrate breakfast, you know, like a sugared cereal or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then just note how, you know, when you start getting hungry, when you start wanting to eat again. And then the next day, get up and eat a more of a high protein breakfast, something like cottage cheese or an egg or, you know, something with protein in it. It doesn't have to be all protein. And then look and see throughout the day, when are you hungry for your next meal? And I think most people would find that if they add protein to that breakfast, they will be more regulated all day long. They won't have those cravings, because what happens is that the refined carbohydrates that we all eat plays havoc with our blood sugar. It's like goes into the stomach and then the small intestine, and boom, it raises your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then, of course, the insulin is released. Your cells are actively trying to get that blood sugar in the cells for use, And then, of course, the blood sugar then drops because, you know, insulin has done such a good job. And when the blood sugar drops below normal, that's when you start to get really hungry and crave the same refined carbohydrates that you were eating in the first place.
I got you in trouble in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and so you end up being on a, like a sugar yo-yo. In fact, I have a client last spring who lost 25 pounds in 3 months, and it wasn't tough to lose it. I mean, it was like she really started, I mean, it didn't happen like all of a sudden. It took her the first month to really get off of sugar because we become addicted to it.
Yes.
And so she got herself off of sugar and started eating complex carbohydrates and protein at every meal, regulated her blood sugar, and then in the next couple months, I mean, the pounds just melted away. So that's one tip. The other thing, and I just fully recommend this, is goal setting and writing it down. I was sort of a rebellious kid, and so when somebody tells me to do something like write something down, I tend to go, nah, I'm not going to do that. But even I will say, if you write it down, and even if you don't stick to it exactly, so if you write down like ahead of time what you're going to eat that day and stick to it as much as possible, you will have greater success than if you just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to eat well today. So that's another tip as far as eating, staying on a program.
Okay. The writing down is something that sometimes I've heard people recommend that you do after the fact just to call your attention to what you're doing, because I can remember when my kids were young and I was cooking breakfast and fixing their lunches and so forth, I caught myself doing a lot of unconscious eating.
Right.
Because I became like the garbage disposal, you know, I had a little bit of chicken salad left over or whatever, and I'd eat it because it wasn't enough to store. And I found out I was being a garbage disposal of all these little odds and ends and crumbs. So I think some people think writing down what you've done is also enlightening, as well as writing down your goals in the first place.
Yeah.
And being specific. You mentioned, you know, it doesn't do any good to say I'm going to eat better. You've got to be specific about what you're going to do.
All goal setting says that. You know, write down short-term goals, but make them specific.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of eating a little bit with the kids, I have three kids myself, and I remember making their lunches and making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I would spread the peanut butter out to the very crust, the very edge, and knowing that my kids probably weren't going to eat the crust, and then I'd go in there and eat all the crust and know that it had the peanut butter jelly on it. So, and that was actually a habit that had to be changed, and I had to make a conscious effort of changing it, and also realizing that it really was okay to throw that crust away, that was okay, because, you know, and I think it's great that we don't want to throw food away. I think, you know, that's great, but the flip side is, do you want to throw the food in the garbage, or do you want to put it on your rear end? What's a better thing?
Throw the garbage in your stomach.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know what? The same is true with eating out. I mean, sometimes I've eaten out, you know, people take doggy bags.
Right.
And sometimes I've decided, first of all, when the food wasn't that great to start with, why am I taking this home? I don't have a dog. And if I did, I wouldn't give a dog that stuff. So we don't have to take doggy bags. And it is a bad habit from the way I know I was raised.
Oh, me too.
That you eat all the food on your plate. You don't throw anything away. There are people starving in China and so forth. But that's a big problem of feeling like you have to finish that plate or take the food home or whatever. Now, what happens when we eat too much sugar? You mentioned earlier about the breakfast with all the sugar. Is that what you were talking about? Is you eat the sugar and it makes you want even more later? You get hungrier faster?
Yeah, you crash. It's like you've been in the school system just like I have. I've taught high school PE and health for forever. And I really see it amongst kids. And if you talk to elementary school teachers, that's when you really see it. Kids who've eaten high sugared cereal for breakfast, mm-hmm. they'll crash at about 10. And the reason is that that's what's happening. The blood sugar is now way low again. Mm-hmm. When we get up in the morning, our blood sugar is low, and so we have to eat something. I mean, breakfast is an important meal.
Sure.
So you have to eat something to get your blood sugar just a little above normal. But you want to eat something that is going to be sustained until lunch. And so oatmeal is good, but the oatmeal that you actually cook, you know, not the quick stuff. If it's quick, it's probably refined. And then with some protein with it, because a complex carbohydrate will take longer to digest.
Okay.
So it's going to be digesting for several hours. And mm-hmm. so you're not going to have that spike in blood sugar with the subsequent downfall at about 10. And in fact, speaking of that, is that kids who have protein at breakfast and balance their blood sugar all morning do much better academically. They have more success with their work, especially in their morning classes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's really pathetic about what I used to do to myself sometimes, and that is dash out without eating any breakfast.
Right.
And then around 10 o'clock, not only did I eat crazy stuff, I'd eat stuff I didn't even like.
Right.
It was because I was starving.
Yeah.
And I had to catch myself. That was back when I was working. I had to catch myself
mm-hmm.
and go, what am I doing, to buy something as a convenience just because you're starving and you don't even normally like it. Doesn't
mm-hmm.
even make sense. But back to your planning tip, you have to plan ahead.
You
in
do have
order
to plan ahead.
To
right.
eat well. So you do need to plan and take something with you or whatever it is you need to do. And
yeah, there's a lot
that
of
planning is very important.
Very important. There's a lot of high-protein bars out there.
Right.
If you look at the label, become label readers and make sure that there's protein in it. Make sure there isn't any, simple carbohydrate, sugars. Sugars are usually listed on there.
Yes.
So I remember I'd come home from teaching. And, you teach all day, and, I mean, for anybody, I don't care what their job is, you're just, like, on a roll all day. You're just
mm-hmm.
going, and you're, so into it, and you're thinking, and you don't really think of food sometimes. And then you get in the car, you relax, you just kind of, you're kind of tired from the day. And what is the first thing you do when you get in the house is go grab something to eat. And it's usually not real good. So what I used to do is bring an apple or some kind of a protein bar and have it in the car. So on my way home, I would just grab it and eat it. And then by the time I got home, it was starting to digest and I wasn't ravenous when I walked in the door.
Mm-hmm. I have a number of people on the over in the chat room, boy, this is a very interesting topic. And some of them, one person is saying that it's not good to eat fruit right after meals because they will cause gas and so forth. How do you weigh in on that one?
Everybody is different, and fruit
mm-hmm.
will cause gas in some people and not in others. So, you have to know your own body, of course. And the other thing about fruit, and a lot of people have asked me this, because fruit is, of course, fructose, which is a different sugar than sucrose. And even though fruit is digested fairly quickly, it, again, is a slower digestion. So my opinion on that would be that fruit it really is fine to eat after a meal, but it depends on your body. And, in fact, fruit actually is always considered to be such a high acidic food, and you if you look at the alkaline and acidic food, you'll find that they test that in the urine, not in the fruit before it enters your body, and fruit becomes more alkaline. And so for some people, fruit's going to be great. And if you get gas from it, then, yeah, maybe you should stay away from it depending on who you're going to be around after you eat it.
Yeah. So that's an individual kind of thing.
I think so.
It's not the same for everybody.
Right.
We have so many more things I want to talk about, but before we go any further, please tell the listeners how they can reach you, because now you're in the state of Washington.
Yes.
But would we be able to work with you as clients from anywhere? And
well, yeah.
So how do we reach you?
I would say the first thing would be to go on my website. It's www.choosingyourhealthypath.com.
Okay.
And I have my book on there. And the book, the reason I wrote this book, and it's just, you know, to help people, because there's so many little secrets that a lot of people don't know, or confusions that people hear here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a big study that was done and put into the New England Journal of Medicine last February.
Mm-hmm.
And the researchers tested 800 people over a 2-year span. And what they were doing was looking to see what kind of diet was the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, we hear so much about high protein, low fat, high carbs, mm-hmm. low carbs, whatever. And the conclusion, there was two conclusions that came out of this research. One is that we need to go back to basics. We need mm-hmm. to eat the 3 macronutrients, carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, and we need to eat them in a ratio. And everybody's ratio is slightly different, but a rule of thumb is sort of 60-20-20, so 60% complex carbohydrates. You're always going to get some simple in there. 20% fats, of which I believe none of them should be trans fats, and then 20% protein.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to lose weight, probably should up the protein a little bit and lower the carbohydrates just a little bit. That might be 25, you know, 55. But the
mm-hmm.
other main thing that came out of this research study was that the most successful dieters of the 800 did so in a group. And so the group provides the support and the fun, because I believe that we have got to have fun in our lives. And
I agree.
Yeah, so my book basically, you know, once a teacher, always a teacher, it's set up as a guide. And so I have 24 chapters, each chapter, and you know, people all over the nation are doing book clubs.
Yes.
And this is to form a weight loss club with your friends and your buddies,
mm-hmm.
and everybody get one of these books, Choosing Your Healthy Path,
mm-hmm.
and I take you week to week to week. So you read chapter one, and it tells you how to form the group, who should be the leader, who should be the corresponding secretary, and all that. And then week two is called, you know, Make It Happen, and go, you know, into your life, go back into your life and figure something that you've done that has just been just awesome,
mm-hmm.
and feel how you were feeling at that time, and interject that feeling into, you know, your new program. And then chapter three is sugar cravings. I go through a lot of what I just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And chapter four is goal setting. And so each week you read the story. The stories are all based on clients I've had.
Okay.
And then I, you know, present the topic. And then I write an assignment for you. And everybody does the assignment and then bring it the next week and go from there. So
mm-hmm.
it's a fun way to do it with your friends, and it really, you can do this. I mean, I've seen it. You can do it. You know, just back to basics, follow the program. This is not a quick fix. This is not some gimmick. It's just back to basics, lifestyle changes, and work with your friends and have fun.
I love the idea of doing it as a group, because there is a wonderful thing that happens when you're in a group,
mm-hmm.
and in addition to having that accountability factor,
right.
but you also have the support and encouragement, so that, like you mentioned earlier, when you screw up and you want to beat up on yourself,
right.
when you're in a group, you tend to get that support and encouragement
yeah.
that perhaps you may not always give yourself if you're trying to do it alone.
Exactly. You're not going to give it to yourself. And the thing is, too, is that when you're in a group, let's just say you have 6 to 8 people in the group, if you screw up on, you know, during the week at some point, you will find that somebody else in your group probably the same thing happened. And that's when you can sit and talk about it. Well, how come you know, what do you think happened? Why do you think you screwed up at that particular time? And you can even kind of laugh about it. And you can say to each other, hey, don't worry about it. You know, you're doing great.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, the group factor, and I also love the fact that your book was written with that idea in mind of people working together, getting together and going through the chapters. You know, when you the way you wrote it, it's conducive to the group.
Yeah.
And there's got to be so much more success in that kind of setting than trying to go it alone. And you know what? That's true for so many things in life. One of the things that so much helps is to have at least a buddy, if not a group, that you can work with. I know I've made a plan to walk. I love to walk. I don't like to run either. And I was walking sporadically last year, and then one of my neighbors invited me to walk with her last March. And so it's been almost a year now going soon that we've been walking. And it has been wonderful, not only for us, but as we've passed some houses, and you don't know how you are influencing other people.
Right.
But we every now and then someone will see us, someone maybe we never saw, but they saw us.
Right.
Would come out of their home and say, wow, it just makes me feel wonderful. I don't know how what effect it's having on their exercise, but it makes me feel so wonderful and happy to see you ladies pass here every day.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? And, you know, just the see us out there actively chit-chatting and walking, it's affecting, you know, someone's mood.
Well, it does affect mood because, you know, we all know that exercise, of course, also increases endorphins. So it makes you feel good. And you don't have to, you know, exercise to the point of, you know, dripping sweat to increase those endorphins. And the other thing you asked me about how, you know, I can maybe help. I do seminars a couple of times a year. And the seminars are for people who may want to learn how to be a weight loss coach. And so the book is great, and you can certainly do it on your own. But some of my clients have decided that they would like to do this for a business. And so they can, again, go on my website. I'm doing the next one in March, and they can contact me if they're at all interested. And I teach them really how to set it up. I've got tools, you know, how to market and set it up so that they can gather their own clients. And actually, it's a good way to earn some extra income if they want to do, you know, their own group. Because, hey, we're all in this together. You know, we all want to help each other. You know, women want to help other women and achieve wellness.
So we can get all this information at your website, choosingyourhealthypath.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and just contact me, and I'm happy to get back with anybody who's got any specific questions. You know, I'd be glad to answer any specific questions, or if you are interested in doing the weight loss coaching seminar, you can let me know.
That's wonderful. We have only 1 minute left. How did you get into this field of health and wellness in the first place? And if you can tell us in 30 seconds.
I don't know if I can do that, but I'll tell you, I've been into this my whole life. But what really made the difference in wanting to go toward the weight loss and wellness is in my high school teaching. I had a young lady who really, really was struggling. And in class one day, and I was only about 32 at the time, there were some boys that were heckling her. And it was just heart-wrenching to me. And I pulled her into my office, and we talked a long time. And she started crying and then just just bawling because of the pain that she had gone through her first 16 years of life. She did not want to take PE, and she had to because it was a requirement. And so she and I got together, and that next year we formed a class called Total Body Fitness in the high school.
Oh,
you could only take it if you were either 25 pounds overweight or hated PE.
Okay.
Those were the two requirements. And so from then on, I, you know, got my master's degree and did my thesis in obesity, nutrition, and fitness and its interrelationship to each other. And the rest is history. I've just been really passionate about this ever since.
Wow, this is wonderful, Marnie. Well, we're running out of time, and I'm going to have to end the show. But thank you so very much. This has been fantastic.
Thanks, Flora, and thanks to everybody who is tuning in, and just I wish them wellness and happiness.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye now.